We are in the Gospel of John, chapter number 17, verse 24, 25, and 26, which is the final section of the Lord's Prayer. If you're not involved in Sunday school, can I encourage you to think about it? Come and be a part of our Sunday school hour. We had a great Sunday school class this morning here in the auditorium. I know the men had a good class, and there are classes for all ages. People serve and teach the children. So I would encourage you to come, and if you have children, bring your children to Sunday school. It will be a good hour for them to be here and to learn from the Word of God. And there's not a Sunday school that I attend that I don't learn something. So come and be a part of that. Thirty-seven years of God's blessings. It's a long time, isn't it? And what I get from that is God is a faithful God. God is a good God. And I thank Him for every work of grace and every work of glory for Himself that He has performed here. And I can't tell you how much I and Denise feel we would not rather be anywhere than at Lakeview Baptist Church. And we are praying. Now, we're not praying that God would kill us. But we are praying that when our time here is over, that we would die here. And so there's no other place we would rather be, no other place we would rather be this morning than here with God's people. And God has fit us together. And I'm not going to knock on wood, but I'm going to praise the power of God in that we have not experienced much of the things that other churches have had to experience, and I mean in a bad way. God has blessed us and been good to us, and we enjoy a fellowship. I tell people that this is not just the people I preach to. These are my friends, and we have a friendship that goes beyond much of what I've seen in other churches. So I'm grateful and thankful for you and grateful that God has, this is year 22 for me, 37 for the church and 22 for me. So thank you so much for your patience and your forbearance in putting up with me. John 17, verse 24, 25, 26. Let's pray and then we'll read the word and then we'll hopefully say some things that will help you and will be glorifying to Him. Lord, we are grateful for our brothers and sisters in Christ who we can fellowship with, who we can discuss Scripture with, who we can love, who we can serve. What a blessing it is. What a blessing you have given us here at this place. And you have faithfully worked here for 37 years, and we pray that you will work here for another 137 years if you should not come back quickly. So God, we pray that you will always have your hand upon this church, that you would reach the world from this church through radio broadcasts, through missionaries, that our outreach would not just be in this community, in this county, but it would be global. You could reach people globally from this place. And so, God, we pray that you would glorify yourself through us as we glorify you in what you have done for us. And we praise you and we thank you in Jesus' name and for Christ's sake. Amen. Verse 24. Jesus praying, Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me. for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me. And I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. And that's God's word, and all God's people said, amen. Let me backtrack just a bit. Four requests Jesus has made for his people. Four requests that Jesus has made for not only his disciples, but for all of those who will believe. Four requests that are important, and four requests that must absolutely come to be because they are prayed by Christ. Number one, he has prayed for their preservation. He has prayed that his people will be kept in this world, supplied with the joy of Christ, supplied with the word of God, and with the hatred of the world toward them because they are not like the world. That hatred has been prayed for. Say amen. So that we may know that we're not of this world. He has prayed that we be kept from the evil of this world and from the evil one. He has prayed that we be kept, and we will be kept. Secondly, he has prayed for our sanctification. He has prayed that not only we be kept from the evil one and the evil of the world, but that we would be kept from the evil that is in our own flesh. That we would be progressively being moved by the power of God from one glory to the next. That we might see the awfulness of sin more and more. That we would desire righteousness more and more. That we would be becoming like Christ more and more. And the sanctifying work happens, he says, through the truth. And God's word is the truth. And then he has prayed for our unification. He prays for the oneness that Jesus and the Father enjoy. And as the Father has given Christ his glory, Christ has given his glory to us. Which means, I think, that the Father has manifested himself in the Son, and the Son manifests himself in those the Father has given to him. So that it can be said, Christ always is living in us. That is our glory. The unification is so that the world may know that Christ has sent, or Christ is the sent Messiah, and that they may know the Father loves his children with the same love that he loves his Son. The last request of Christ on our behalf is that of our glorification. And all true believers are preserved in Christ, sanctified in Christ, unified in Christ, and glorified in Christ. So let's flesh out a little bit here what it means to be glorified in Christ as Christ makes this final request. Number one, notice in verse 24, the will of Christ. Father, I will. This is my will, that they also, not just the 11, but all of those who will believe, or as Christ puts it, whom thou hast given me. It is my will that they be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou hast lovest me before the foundation of the world. The word will here in the Greek refers to a desire, or we could say a want. And the idea of the verb here in the Greek is that Christ desires this, he delights in this, and he determines this. He desires it, he delights in it, and then he sets out to determine that it come to pass. Let me ask you a question. Is the will of Christ ever wrong? Can Christ ever will something that is wrong? Can he ever will something that will never be accomplished? So what is it that Christ desires? What is it that Christ delights in? What is it that Christ determines to be? And it is this. Christ desires, delights, and determines that they which God had given to him be with him where he is. That they also hear. They also are all of those who believe in addition to the 11. That would include me, and that would include you if you are born again. So Christ wills that the 11 and all of those who were saved before them and all of those who will be saved after them, based on their testimony of him, will be with him. Those are the ones who God has given to the Son. Not just the 11, but the 11 and all of those who believe. So, I think this prayer is the main reason why every believer ultimately dies. It is a prayer for your death. Say amen. I pray, I will, I desire, I determine that you who are my people, be with me. And outside of God coming back and receiving us to himself, the only way that happens is through our death. We know that we die because of sin, right? And the wages of sin is death. But Jesus here wills our death as well. He here delights in our death as well. He here determines our death as well, because he desires that we be with him where he is. Say amen. And to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. This prayer is why man will never reach a place where death is conquered by medical advancements. As much as they try to conquer death, Christ has already willed that we die. And he has prayed that his people, whom he has died for, be with him. And there is nothing that is going to keep the Savior's will from being accomplished. Now, I want to emphasize something here. Are you listening? To be with Christ where he is what heaven is. Let me go a little bit further with that. To be with Christ where he is what salvation is about. You see, salvation is not about me not being in the torments of hell one day. It's about being with Christ. And we have missed that. We have missed that. But salvation is about you being with Christ, wherever that may be. And when I say that I'm looking forward to spending eternity in heaven, what I mean by that is I look forward to being with Christ. I have no interest whatsoever in streets of gold. I have no interest whatsoever in walls of jasper, gates of pearl, mansions, or even loved ones who have gone on before. If all of those things were not there, but Christ was, it would still be heaven for me. Because heaven is about being with him. Heaven is actually the fulfillment of the overwhelming desire in all of his people to be in his presence. Yes? And know this. This is what you need to get. It is not just that we will be with him. It is that he desires that we be with him. Say amen. Have you ever been in the presence of somebody that you really didn't want to be in the presence of, but they were just there? Yes. Every family reunion, yes. But understand, it's not just that you'll be there. It will be his delight that you are with him. And he has done everything required by God for us to be with him.
And he has determined that it will be. Not just some of us, but every single one of us who believe in Jesus Christ. He delights and desires that we spend eternity with him. We're not just going to be on the outside looking in. We're not just going to be in the corner somewhere while everybody else is enjoying God. No, God desires all of us to be with him.
And he doesn't pray for the world, does he? He's already said he doesn't pray for the world. He prays for those who will believe. And he only wills, only desires, only delights, and only determines that those he prays for be with him. Jesus does not desire or will for those who do not believe and trust in him to be with him. Say amen. Jesus is not going to spend eternity wishing those in hell would have made a better decision. He prays for and he wills for only those that the Father gave him to be with him where he is. Listen to my friend C.H. Spurgeon. He doesn't know he's my friend, but we talk every day. Well, he talks every day. But one day I'll inform him of what a good friend he has been to me. Listen to what Spurgeon said, quote, "This was not a universal prayer. It was a prayer including within it a certain class and portion of mankind who are designated as those whom the Father had given him. Now we are taught to believe that God the Father did from before the foundation of the world give unto his Son, Jesus Christ, a number who no man can number, who were to be the reward of his death, the purchase of the travail of his soul, who were to be infinitely brought or infallibly brought into the everlasting glory by the merits of his passion and the power of his resurrection." Close quote. Who are those people? Those who will believe. Now, I was thinking about this, and I understand. I fully understand why we would want to be with him, right? I mean, there's no one more glorious than he is. No one more wonderful than he is. No one more kind and loving and generous than he is. I can understand why we would want to be with him, but what I cannot comprehend is why he would want us to be with him. I can understand our desire for him. I don't understand his desire for us. Because there is nothing in us that should cause Jesus to desire to be with us. Except that we were the gift to him from the Father. And that he has purchased us with his own blood. And we're his. It is not that you are desirable. Say amen. It is not that you are worthy. It is that you were given to him by the Father. It is not that you are more desirable than those who will spend eternity in hell. It is that you are the gift given to him by the Father. And it is not the gift itself, but it is the gift that represents the Father's love toward the Son. Say amen. We are reminders to Christ of the Father's love for him. Amen. And as undesirable as we are his bride. The Father has gone out and chosen and given to his Son a bride. And the Father loves the Son, and Jesus desires to be with us because of the love of the Father. So we see here, firstly, the will of Christ. Secondly, I want you to see the wonder of Christ. Now, why does Christ desire and will and delight and determine that all of those who will believe be with him where he is for eternity? And the answer is, so that they may behold
My glory, Christ says, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. And to me, that sounds conceited and self-exalting. I want them to come be with me so they can see me and all of my glory. Doesn't that sound conceited and self-centered? I will for them to be with me so they can see me and my glory. But it's not conceited and it's not self-exalting, because what better thing could we see? What greater thing could we behold? What greater thing could Christ desire for us than that we see and behold Him? It is the greatest sight ever. Greater than anything we have seen. When we look on Him, there's nothing greater than Him. And we don't talk about that. That's what heaven is, right? Heaven is not just freedom from sin. This is what we think it is. Heaven's freedom from sin, freedom from pain, freedom from sickness, freedom from death, freedom from hurts, freedom from tears, and so on and so on. Heaven is that. Heaven is that there will be freedom from sin and freedom from pain and freedom from sickness and freedom from death and freedom from all hurts and freedom from all tears. Heaven is that. Say amen. But only so that we can put all of our focus without any distractions in beholding the glory of Jesus Christ. Say amen. It's not so you won't hurt anymore. It's so that your pains won't distract you from seeing the glory of Jesus Christ. Heaven is Christ. Christ is the joy of heaven. Christ is the treasure of heaven. Christ is the center of heaven. In fact, all of heaven is about Him. You're going to a place where you don't matter. All that matters is Christ. If I have a seizure, y'all, look out. Heaven is being with Christ, beholding His glory. So if somebody asks me, what are you going to be doing for all eternity in heaven? Don't tell them you're going to be sitting on a cloud playing a harp. Don't tell them you're going to have a big backyard in your mansion, you'll be playing touch football. No golf courses. What are you going to be doing in heaven for all eternity? Beholding His glory and never becoming weary of beholding His glory. Amen. Heaven is so much Christ that without Christ, it would not be heaven. If all of your loved ones were safely there, it wouldn't be heaven if Christ wasn't. Say amen. You could not enjoy heaven if Christ were not there, if you're a true believer. Because nothing makes heaven heaven but Christ. I never had an argument about whether I had a mansion or a room. That never became an argument in my heart. Because I thought, if I just had a tent, if I just had a place, and Christ is there, it would be heaven. I agree with Samuel Rutherford when he said, quote, "O my Lord Jesus, if I could be in heaven without thee, it would be hell. And if I could be in hell and have thee still, it would be heaven to me, for thou art all the heaven I want." Close quote. Amen? Martin Luther said, quote, "I would rather be in hell with Christ than be in heaven without Him." Close quote. When I die, how will I know that I am in heaven and not in hell? Because I will be beholding the glory of Christ if I am in heaven. Say amen. That is how Jesus describes heaven. Heaven is where Christ is. Heaven is where we who are His people behold Him and His glory. And the idea here is not just staring at Christ for all eternity, but seeing in Him everything that we delight in. It's not that we're all going to be standing there staring at Him, wondering what we're going to do next. No, looking and beholding at Him fulfills every delight and joy and pleasure we could ever have. Let me give you a crude example. I learn about God every day. Say amen. Not just from the Scriptures, but from things that God puts in my life. I have a grandson who I thought, when people were telling me that grandchildren are better than children, I thought they were crazy, but now I understand they were right. I look at Haddon, and I love to watch him play. I love to watch him, period. If you just put a camera on him 24/7, that would be the channel I watch. I love to hear him talk and say words. I just love to watch him. Listen, watching him gives me great joy. Say amen. Just looking at him. I delight to be with him. I delight to watch him. And every day, every Monday through Friday, he sleeps in my arms for 2 hours. And it is the greatest 2 hours ever. Say amen. He sleeps in my arms, and I watch him from inches away, lying on my chest. And I'm here to tell you, with Haddon in my arms and me in that rocking chair, it is the most delightful place on the face of the earth to me. It's not that I have to hold him. Oh, no, 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 no. I get to hold him. Say amen. And don't try to be interfering. Between 12 and 2. But that's just a glimpse, right? That's just a glimmer of the delight and pleasure that we have here compared to the delight and pleasure we will experience and enjoy when we are in the presence of Almighty God beholding His glory. Oh, no, it's not that I have to go to heaven. I get to go to heaven. It's not that I have to behold Him. I get to behold Him. And beholding Him brings out in me every joy and every pleasure I could wish for. To behold is to delight in Him. So, we're not just hanging out with Jesus. What you going to do in heaven? Well, I'm just going to hang out with Jesus. No. You're going to participate in His glory by beholding in His glory. And if that's boring to you, then probably you're not going. Say amen. Number three. And those who are visiting with us, we only have 3 points mostly. And today is one of those days. The will of Christ, the wonder of Christ, the work of Christ. Verse 25 and 26. O righteous Father, it's the only time in Scripture that Christ calls Father righteous. O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me. Now I think here, at least partly, there is a contrast being presented between the Father, who is perfectly righteous, and the world, who is perfectly not righteous. Say amen. The Father is perfectly righteous, and the world is perfectly not righteous. This is the reason that the Father is not known and cannot be known by the world. Why can't the world know Him? Because the world is not righteous. And He is righteous. Say amen. O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee. Unrighteousness cannot know righteousness. Amen. Darkness cannot fellowship with light. Say amen. unrighteousness can know that righteousness exists through creation, but they suppress that truth in unrighteousness so they can live their lives unrighteously and deny the obvious truth that God exists. The world does not know God in an intimate and saving way unless God is revealed to them by Jesus Christ. And they are declared righteous through His work in perfectly keeping the law and taking their sins in His own body. Do you understand what I just said? Only the righteous know the righteous Father. And the only way we can be righteous is to be declared righteous through repentance and faith in the Son, Jesus Christ. Say amen. Everything the Father does is righteous. Even when it does not seem to be righteous, it is righteous. The Father is righteous, therefore He can only do that which is right. And that's going to be tested with the disciples in just a few hours, because Jesus Christ is going to the cross, and how can a righteous God allow the Son of God to be taken and crucified on the cross? But the cross does stand for the demonstration and the vindication of the righteousness of God. And Jesus knows the Father in this way. And those who believe know that Jesus is the Son of God, sent by God to the world to provide salvation. So how do believers know what the world does not know? Right? Because Jesus says, right? Look what He says in verse 26. And I have declared unto them. Who's them? Those who will believe. I have declared unto them Thy name, and will declare it. Not only have I declared it to the 11, but I will declare it to every born-again believer in the future. That the love wherewith Thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. It is because Jesus has revealed the Father and has declared the Father. It is only in Christ and in His work of revealing to us who God is that we are saved and know the Father. Say amen. The reason we are saved is not because we figured it out on our own. The reason we are saved is because the Son of God has spiritually revealed the righteous God to us. We are saved by the work of God, the work of Christ. Nobody knows the Father except by the Son. That's what the Bible says. And those whom the Son has willed to reveal God to. That's what the Bible says. The only way we can know God is by the revealing work of Jesus Christ. It is only through Christ that we are, who are unrighteous, declared to be righteous. Say amen. And Jesus continues to make God known to those who believe and continues to call out of the world those that belong to Him. In other words, God's people are continually being sanctified and God's sheep are continually being called out and added to the family of God. And this is what I think. This is, every time I say I think, that means I think. I think when Christ reveals the righteous Father and calls the very last saint, the very last sheep given to Him by the Father, then this world is going to wrap up and fold up like a cheap tent. I think when that last believer is called by Christ to believe and puts their repentance and faith in Him, when that last believer comes to Christ, I think Christ comes back and I think that He will usher in eternity. Say amen. Jesus will return. His people will be resurrected. Eternity will take over time.
I'm not looking for seasons. I'm not looking for signs. I'm just waiting for that last one given to the Son by the Father to come to know Christ. And then it's over. So at the end of the day, the love the Father has for the Son is the same love the Father has for all of those who believe. But until all are gathered in, God is patient because He's not willing that any of them perish. He's patient, long-suffering, willing that all of them be brought to repentance. And so this love that the Father has for the Son is the love that the Father has for all of those who believe and Christ indwells them, and this love of the Father that is in them causes His people who love the Son and love the Father and love the Spirit and love each other with the righteous love of God. Say amen. The reason we love God and the reason we love one another is because of the cross. Say amen. That love was purchased for us, and in conversion, that love was put in us in the indwelling of God in us. It is the fruit of the Spirit that is constantly being produced in us. Love, love for God, love for Christ, love for the Spirit, love for one another. So that you can't not love God and know Him. And you can't not love one another and know Him either. Say amen. If the Son has willed to reveal the righteous Father to you, then you know Him, you have experienced Him, you are experiencing Him, you have a right relationship with Him, and the result of that relationship with God is a love for God and a love for God's people. Say amen. So if somebody tells you they cannot stand brother so-and-so or sister so-and-so, but they love Jesus, no, they don't. No, they don't. Because the love of God the Father has for the Son has been put in you in Christ Jesus. That love is in you and demonstrates the reality of God in you and you in And I would just want to remind you this morning that every one of us are going to one day stand before God. And only those who stand before Christ in Christ, who are in Christ by repentance and faith, will be forgiven. Say amen. There is no other way to be forgiven but through repentance and faith in the person and work of Jesus Christ. Christ is the only way that you can know God. Christ is the only way that you can be right with God. Christ is the only way that you can have the love of God in you. Christ is not one of many ways. He is the only way. And you're not going to stand before many judges. You're going to stand before Christ as judge. And if you're not in His righteousness, then you're in bad shape. And the result of that being in Christ, Christ being in you, is that your love is expressed to other believers. Say amen. So let me summarize it this way. The last request of Jesus Christ in this high priestly prayer is that we, His people, be with Him where He is so that we may wonder and behold and delight in and joy in Christ and His glory forever and ever. And the only way that can happen is if Christ does the work of God that He has been sent to do in revealing the righteousness of God to us, lives perfectly for us, dies on the cross in our place, rises from the grave victorious, and ascends back to the Father in our place, not in our place, but instead of us, mediating for us as the accepted sacrifice for our forgiveness. Say amen. It is Christ who suffered for you and died for you and rose for you and ascended for you and sits on the right hand interceding for you. That was Christ's prayer. And it has to come to pass. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Let's stand, we'll pray. Lord, we thank you for your word. I ask that it would go forth with power and strength to break through calloused hearts, closed minds, stubborn wills, and that it would accomplish exactly what you have decreed for it to accomplish. May we who are in Christ know that Christ has prayed for us. He has prayed that we be kept. He has prayed that we be sanctified. He has prayed that we be unified. And he has prayed that we would be glorified. And we are grateful and thankful for the prayer of Christ for us. And we praise you for Christ and for the work of Christ for us. And we thank you for all that you have done for us individually and for us collectively as a church. We are humbled and grateful that you would desire for us to be with you. In Jesus' name and for Christ's sake, amen.